Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Wrestling Rage Podcast. I am your host. I am the Prince of Pod, the King of Controversy, and ladies and gentlemen, this is Dilly. How are you all doing today? I'm happy you've all shown up. And first things first, make sure whichever podcast platform you're listening to this on, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, you name it, I'm probably there. Wherever you're listening, subscribe to this podcast page, follow it, subscribe, like this podcast, just so that we can get our names out there, because this is the first episode and I want it to blow up. I want this to be the new wrestling podcast everyone has to listen to. It's going to be a packed show today, ladies and gentlemen. The first thing I'm actually going to be talking about today is the wrestler of the week. Essentially, every week I do the podcast, I am going to pick one wrestler who's just been extra that week and talk about him. I'm also going to be doing a segment on dirt sheets. I'm going to be scouring the dirt sheets, looking at wrestling news for this week, and I'm going to be talking about all that because it's never ending, the wrestling world. Something's always happening. A lot is actually happening this week alone, so we're going to be talking about that. And in the main event, I'm going to be doing my predictions for the upcoming Extreme Rules Premium Live event this upcoming Saturday. So without any further ado, strap in, grab a beer, smoke a joint. Personally, I got my Diet Pepsi, so I'm good. Let's get into the episode, ladies and gentlemen. Alright, so this is the Wrestler of the Week segment. This is the very first one, so it's gotta be special. I gotta pick somebody who's really blown me away this last week. And ladies and gentlemen, my pick is none other than the almighty Bobby Lashley. Now, Lashley, not even just this week, but Lashley has been incredible the last couple weeks. This man is putting on constant bangers week in, week out, every single time he's on television. So, this past week, he put Ali over big on Raw. Obviously, Ali did not win his match against Bobby Lashley, but I personally thought that was match of the night for Raw. And when I say he put him over, putting someone over doesn't necessarily mean you're letting them win. That's not really what's always most important. Ali was put over big time on Raw in his match against Bobby Lashley, and it's really good on Bobby Lashley to have done it as well as he did. Lashley dominated the entire match, but the story being told is that Ali was not backing down. He was not saying die. He was not quitting. And I'm surprised by the end of that match, people weren't cheering for him, because honestly, it was something. Like, we were getting a lot of sympathy for Ali on Raw, which is crazy, because he's supposed to be the heel, and I mean, he still definitely is. Like, this doesn't really mean anything in the long run, but I think that match was just very special to me. You don't really see matches like that all too often where Lashley wasn't really putting himself over. He was really putting Ali over more than anything. But these past couple weeks, like every single week, Lashley's been essentially defending his US title, and he's been having amazing matches. And it's great that of all titles he's doing this with, it is with the US title. Obviously, this reign that Lashley's had so far has been very reminiscent to me of John Cena's 2015 US title reign, where every week he would kind of do the open challenge, and that's not exactly what Lashley's doing right now, because he's not really doing the open challenges, he's just kind of having these matches, but it's definitely very reminiscent, definitely gives me those same vibes that John Cena title reign gave me in 2015. And once again, just constant bangers, as was the John Cena title reign. Like, constant bangers. Every single week, Lashley's putting on a good match. So, honestly, I hope his US title reign lasts a long time. I wouldn't mind seeing Lashley hold that belt for over a year. Because if he's gonna keep putting on these amazing matches, then that's great. This is really the most resurgence I think Lashley has had recently. And I know he just had the WWE title not too long ago, or at least it feels like it wasn't too long ago. It was probably like 2 years ago. But, you know, he had that reign, and that was great for what it was. Him and MVP were doing great stuff, but I think this is probably his best work he's actually done in years. Like, I'm actually a big fan of Lashley as US champion, and it actually makes the US championship worth half a shit, and it's great because it's not getting used. That's a big problem with WWE championships, and I mean, it happens more with the Intercontinental title, I find. Like, I don't really even know who the Intercontinental champion is right now. Oh, it's Gunther. It's Gunther. See, he's doing his own thing. He's not really defending the Intercontinental Championship. I had to think about that, though, for a minute. You know, the U.S. title is very important. A lot of good people have held that title, but the way mid-card titles have been treated over the years has been a bit hit and miss. Sometimes it's been great, but I think Triple H knows what he's doing and knows that a championship is not just something that people hold. It's a big deal, and it's good that they're making the U.S. title a big deal, and who better to do it with than Lashley? Because he's proven himself time and time again that he can put on stellar matches with anybody on the roster. That match with Holly especially, though, that was just a perfect match. There was not a flaw with that match whatsoever. So wrestler of the week this week is absolutely Bobby Lashley, and he has earned it in every sense. Let's go into the next segment, folks. Rumor has it. It is time for the Rumor Has It segment of the week. Essentially, I'm going to be digging through the dirt sheets, finding out some news that's been spread around, and of course, you can't always trust the dirt sheets. I actually saw a quote this past week, and I'm trying to remember it because I don't want to misquote the quote. I think it was something like, believe half you see, believe 0% of what you hear, or something like that. It's just referring to the fact that the dirt sheets aren't always super reliable. I am trying to keep some of this news as actual news. I'm not trying to present anything that isn't legitimate. I actually have three things to talk about today, all of which I know for a fact are legitimate things, sort of. The first one's a bit iffy. We're going to be talking about the whole Sammy Guevara and Andrade El Idolo situation. First things first, I'm not a huge AEW guy. I don't watch AEW. It's not even available where I am without some sort of fucking platinum TV package bullshit. So I don't watch AEW because I don't want to stream it online. I don't care. I've never been an AEW guy. I never will be an AEW guy. But I do kind of keep up with it on social media. That's about the extent of it because you kind of have to. Like, it's important what's going on right now in the world of wrestling. It's important that they're like the second company to WWE. So apparently, recently, this week, Andrade El Idolo, and I think that's his name. I think that's what he's going by right now. I know him as Andrade Almas from when he was, you know, in WWE. Apparently him and Sammy Guevara, who is quite a heat magnet from what I've been told and from what I've seen. I don't like Sammy Guevara based on what I've heard. But Sammy Guevara and Andrade got into a backstage fight, and it was actually reported by TMZ, which is funny because this is not the first AEW backstage fight that's happened in the last month. Yikes. AEW does not seem to be having a good time right now. So much drama, and as a former wrestler myself, I've been involved in a shit ton of drama. I know what that's like, and it sucks ass. Not a good environment to be in. You don't want drama. But clearly AEW's got a lot, and everybody's got something. So I'm just going to kind of be reading this TMZ article just to kind of go over what happened. Apparently, the incident happened backstage at an AEW Dynamite show in Washington, D.C., words were exchanged, things turned physical, Sammy allegedly pushed Andrade, and punches were thrown. It's unclear if anyone was hit, so potential scrap. Although I believe on AEW TV, Andrade was sent home, Sammy Guevara was not. He came out and it looked like he had some scuffs on his hand, so I'm assuming there was some punches that landed. Apparently, our sources are adamant that the altercation was not part of a storyline. Well, yeah, I don't even think they're doing anything in a storyline right now, so that wouldn't really make sense. Apparently, the guys have had an intense beef. It spilled over on social media. The wrestlers went back and forth on Twitter on Tuesday. Several wrestlers are pissed at Sammy for publicly airing personal / private issues, and things just boiled over at the arena. And Andrade tweeted out a picture that says, "Respect me and I'll respect you." So, yikes. Lots of drama going on there. People throwing fists. Backstage fights are not new. They've been happening for years, and they are always going to happen. In a sport like professional wrestling, everybody is maybe not everybody, a lot of people are very egotistical, and I think their egos kind of drive them into these scraps. Of course, Sammy, if he was stirring up some private business, that's not good. That's not a good thing to do. I don't know exactly what happened. Nobody does. A few people might, but I don't. I'm sure some people involved know exactly what happened, and they probably know which side was the better one. I can't say anything. The fact that Andrade was sent home over Sammy seems a bit strange to me. I think they both should have been sent home. Sammy literally appeared on television, and I think Sammy's involved in something heavy right now, but I'm also pretty sure Andrade was supposed to have a match. So, not good. Definitely nothing good coming out of that. Will either of them get their release? Probably not. Tony Khan does not want either of them going to WWE. So, that's all there is to it. And I mean, hey, if he released Andrade, Andrade would go work with his wife. That's just how that would go. He's not going to release Sammy, because literally, Sammy was on television. He clearly doesn't care. So, I don't know, maybe Andrade was the shit disturber? I don't know. Sammy Guevara seems like a little shit. He always has seemed like a little shit. He seems like the kind that would fuck around. He seems like the kind... He's a douchebag. I've seen so many clips of him where he's just super douchey. And like, dude's clearly got a huge ego. Andrade might too. I don't know, but so stupid. Don't scrap at your workplace. Don't do that. I get it. You're wrestlers. You're full of testosterone. You're full of ego. Get over yourself. It's crazy that people act like this. And I mean, the whole CM Punk, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Ace Steel, that whole thing that happened recently, I'm sad I didn't have this podcast at that point because holy shit, that would have been something to cover. Wow. So much drama going on in AEW. And I mean, it's bound to happen. Wrestling, like I said, is super combustible. Like, very combustible people just chilling backstage, going, like, getting ready to fight. Like, shit's gonna happen. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes. And it's happening way too much in AEW right now. So, not good. I do definitely believe that story. Not that I would be shocked if it was told that it wasn't true. I believe it. It's not super surprising to me. The next bit of news I have to cover is actually some unfortunate stuff. Sara Lee, who won Tough Enough, actually passed away. Very unfortunate. She won the most recent season of Tough Enough. I don't think she really did anything with WWE after she won. I believe she was an interviewer backstage. I think that's about the extent. She might have wrestled on some house shows. I don't think she ever got TV time. But yeah, she just passed away at the age of 30. Very sad to hear. Her apparently most recent Instagram post stated, "Celebrating finally being healthy enough to go to the gym 2 days in a row. First ever sinus infection kicked my butt." So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. And honestly, I'm not going to pick too much into it. It's very unfortunate. She is actually was married to former WWE star Wesley Blake, who was in the Blake and Murphy. He was in the Forgotten Sons. And they actually have 3 children together, so that's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate all around, and it's very sad to hear that. And definitely, I give my condolences to the family, because that's terrible. 30 years old, like, that's incredible. Not incredible in a good way, but it's terrible. That's what I meant to say. So rest in peace for sure to Sara Lee. And the last bit of news I'm going to be covering today is SmackDown and Raw and NXT's announcer commentary people have been switched up. WWE announces updates to the commentary teams, which is interesting. They're doing definitely the season premieres of Raw and SmackDown this upcoming week. So I'm sure this change will be in effect as soon as then. I don't believe it will be on tonight's episode of SmackDown. You never know. So here is how it's going. Here's actually the new statement given by WWE themselves. Today, WWE announced that Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and Premium Live events will all have updated announce booths, starting with this week's season premieres. So this upcoming week's season premieres will be new commentators. So on Friday Night SmackDown, the commentary table will be headed by Michael Cole with Wade Barrett doing color commentary. I like that. That's going to be a good duo, I think. Michael Cole with anybody is very good. Michael Cole has definitely grown a lot as an announcer. I know for a bit, like in 2011, 2012, he was literally the worst fucking heel announcer ever seen. Like, he's so annoying, but he's great nowadays. He's a legend at this point. Wade Barrett has done some good work in NXT as well. I definitely am interested to see how this goes. So Samantha Irvin will be the ring announcer, and interviews will be conducted by Kayla Braxton and Megan Morant. Very good. On Monday Night Raw, Corey Graves will still be providing his colorful insights, and will be joined by Kevin Patrick on play-by-play. So, I'm not too sure about Kevin Patrick. He's done some backstage interviewing. I don't think he's really done any proper announcing yet. He might have. I don't believe he has, though. Maybe he has. Maybe for pre-shows, maybe. I feel like I've heard him do announcing before. So, he's done some stuff. He's done the pre-show panels. He's done everything. He definitely has been working. He's been getting his chops in. And he's very excited. Apparently, he put out a post, and he's super excited about the change. And I'm willing to see it. You know, I'm willing to play it out. Of course, he's with Corey Graves, who is by far their best commentator right now. By far. So he'll be in good hands for sure. Corey Graves will definitely show him the ropes if he needs help. Mike Rome will continue to announce from the ring, and Byron Saxton will transition from the commentary booth to backstage interviews. I think that's good for Byron. I don't really like him as a commentator that much, but he does have a lot of charisma. He has that potential. So the backstage interviews, I think, will be perfect for him. Also joining Saxton backstage in interviews is none other than Kathy Kelly on her return to WWE, which is awesome. She was actually super good when she started off in WWE. She left a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when she left, but I do remember it. I think it was relatively recently, like maybe 2018, 19, maybe 2020. So it's awesome that she's back. Happy to hear that. She was actually really good. Over on NXT, Vic Joseph will be assisted by six-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer Booker T. That's cool. I like seeing Booker T on commentary once again. Alicia Taylor will still provide her exceptional voice to ring announcing, and Mackenzie Mitchell will once again be conducting interviews. That's awesome. I'm really happy to hear Booker T's doing it. He's amazing. Vic Joseph's pretty good, too. He's definitely worked a lot. I think he started with NXT UK, though I could be wrong about that. He might have just been on regular NXT. Very good. Booker T is always a great addition to the announce team. Shucky ducky, quack, quack. Love fucking Booker T. on the premium live event side, Michael Cole and Corey Graves will come together again for the announce booth. So that's good. That's the best commentary team they could have, although I definitely understand separating them to put one on Raw, one on SmackDown. That definitely makes sense. And Pat McAfee will return to the WWE announce booth following his commitments to ESPN's College Game Day. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know jack shit about football, so we'll see. Pat McAfee was actually super good, too. He just kind of came in and kicked ass. And I mean, I think he got a lot of that experience from the football world, if I'm not mistaken. He had his own podcast. He knows what's up. So I hope Pat McAfee comes back sooner rather than later to do commentary again. And hell, I wouldn't mind seeing Corey Graves on Raw and SmackDown. So say they put Pat McAfee back with Michael Cole and Corey Graves, that trio, and then send Corey Graves back to Raw as well, which is what they've done before. That'd be great. Something like that anyways. I don't know. So yeah, very interesting stuff. They're drafting the fucking announcers, but they're not drafting the wrestlers, which I think is pretty stupid. We need a draft. This isn't news. Well, maybe it is. Nothing's came out about a draft recently, but we need a draft. I don't know why there hasn't been a draft done within the last... When was the last draft? I'm gonna fucking find that out. When was the last WWE... I can't fucking spell... Oh my god, that's horrible. I can't spell for shit. I'm just trying to figure out when the last draft was. It feels like it's been way too long. I can't. This is all fucked up. The last draft. Oh, they did one in 2021 in October. Maybe they'll do one after this. Maybe on the season premiere they'll announce that they're doing a draft the following week. That would be great. I think they need to do a draft because there's too much people going from one to the other, and I'm not a big fan of it. So, we shall see. I'm excited for the commentators changing. It's definitely a nice change-up, not a bad thing. But Jesus Christ, do a superstar draft next. All right, folks. So that was the new segment of the week, and it is time for the main event of the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for the main event segment of the week, and I am going to be doing my Extreme Rules 2022 predictions. There's actually a lot of awesome matches on the card, and I'm actually super excited to give my predictions for them. So we're going to get right into it. First things first, though, I don't know what the main event is, because there's a lot of great matches that could be main event. But none of them really stand out as being the main event match, which is strange. I also find it strange that Bobby Lashley does not have a match on the pay-per-view because he's US champ. He's been kicking ass on Raw for weeks now, and he's not on the pay-per-view. I think that sucks. So far, there is only, let me see, I think there's 6 matches announced currently. So we'll see how this goes. I'm going to be predicting them one by one in the order I think they might be. Can't confirm, no fucking clue. First match, I think they're going to open with the good old-fashioned Donnybrook match, which is the Brawling Brutes, so Sheamus, Butch, Ridge Holland versus Imperium, which is Giovanni Vinci, I think that's his name, Ludwig Kaiser, and of course Gunther, the Intercontinental Champ. This is going to be a good one. I think this is going to be the big blow-off match for this feud. I'm expecting that anyway because it's been going for a while, so maybe. I expect there to be tons of great spots, probably tons of weapon gag-type spots, because what the fuck is a good old Donnybrook match? I don't know what that means. What is a Donnybrook? I'm looking this shit up. What the fuck is a Donnybrook? Donnybrook, that's a movie, apparently. Donnybrook, is that just a place? Looks like a Donnybrook is a place. I don't know what a Donnybrook is. I don't think anybody knows what a Donnybrook is. I think it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting match. I don't know. Is it going to be like a bar fight? That would be cool. I don't know what they're doing. No fucking clue. But I'm excited nonetheless because it's going to be a good match. A good old 3-on-3. So like I said, tons of weapon gag spots, and I expect it to be the open, I expect it to be the solid opener to get the mood for the show going. In the end, I think Imperium are going to win. I think Gunther is going to pin Sheamus 1-2-3. I think they need to establish Gunther as this big main event level heel guy. I think they need to do that. And I think the only way to do that is to end this rivalry once and for all with Sheamus getting pinned by Gunther. So I think this is going to establish Gunther and end that feud. Hopefully, maybe. If this feud continued, I wouldn't be too mad. It's not to the annoying point yet, but definitely could see it end. That would be fine by me. Next is the SmackDown Women's Championship Extreme Rules match where Liv Morgan will be defending against Ronda Rousey. So I expect this match to go as I feel like most people are going to expect it to go. Ronda Rousey is going to dominate like 95% of the match because it's Ronda fucking Rousey. You don't fuck around with Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey. Yeah, that's her name. I think at some point in the match, Liv Morgan's gonna snap. I think she's just gonna start like kendo sticking the fuck out of Ronda. She's gonna fucking ruin Ronda's day. She might even use that baseball bat. She's gonna fucking murder Ronda, and she's gonna pin Ronda clean to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship to make it 3-0. She will have defeated Ronda Rousey 3 straight times, and Ronda's gonna be pissed. I expect this to lead into a big blow-off match at Crown Jewel next month. Because they like doing their big women's matches over there. So I think Ronda's going to win at Crown Jewel. I expect that to be how that goes. We shall see. Next is the Fight Pit match. I think this is going to be one of the more exciting matches of the night. As the Fight Pit hasn't been seen too much. I believe they've done 2 or 3 Fight Pit matches in NXT. Definitely has not been seen on main roster. Matt Riddle has been in... How many Fight Pit matches have there been? WWE Fight Pit match. I gotta figure this shit out. I don't know how many there's been. I know Matt Riddle's been in at least one, though. He introduced the goddamn match because he is Mr. MMA guy. He was in UFC. And, of course, I forgot to mention, it's Matt Riddle versus Seth freaking Rollins with the special guest referee as Daniel motherfucking Cormier from UFC. Holy shit, they brought in Daniel Cormier. I was so stoked when I heard that shit. Daniel Cormier is the fucking man. I fucking love DC, so that's going to be exciting to see him in there. I think it's going to lead into a match with Daniel Cormier at some point, but we're going to get into that. So in this match, I think Riddle's going to dominate with submissions, etc., like a lot of cage fighting stuff. Rollins is going to hold his own, though. He's going to, you know, be Seth Rollins. Ha ha ha! King of the fight pit! King of MMA! Whatever the hell he says. So I definitely think Riddle's MMA experience is going to shine through a bit, but I do think Rollins is going to hold his own pretty well, for sure. I think during the match, Rollins is going to start some animosity between himself and Daniel Cormier, whether it be maybe him pushing Daniel Cormier. Cormier clearly is the face going into it, so I definitely think he's going to be siding with Riddle, because, I mean, he's the face, Riddle's from MMA, that's definitely how that's going to go. I think Rollins is going to be pissed off about that. I think he's going to have some animosity for Mr. DC. I think Riddle is going to end up tapping Rollins out to finish the match. I think it's probably going to be the bro mission. And after the match, Rollins is going to get up and he's going to beat the shit out of Riddle. And then, all of a sudden, Cormier gets in there. He knocks Seth the fuck out. He is going to one punch this man, knock his ass out, and they're going to set up for Cormier versus Rollins at Crown Jewel. They gotta do it. Cormier is a big name. I don't know if he's big in Saudi Arabia, but obviously they're gonna be wanting to pay Cormier big money. So if they're gonna be paying him big money, Crown Jewel is the place to do it. This is, of course, assuming that UFC allows him to do this match, which I'm sure they will, because they're allowing him to appear. That's big enough. I think they might let him do this match. I can see it happening. And if they're going to do it, they're going to do it at Crown Jewel. A lot of people are expecting something to do with Brock Lesnar and Daniel Cormier, maybe Brock Lesnar versus Riddle. I don't see any of that happening. I think they're leading for Daniel Cormier to have a big match because Daniel Cormier loves wrestling. He was even there at WrestleMania 31 when Seth Rollins cashed in the heist of the century, or as they called it recently on TV, the height of the century. Cormier was there. Cormier loves Rollins. I think that would be a great match. I think they could build it really well. Matt Riddle could train Daniel Cormier. It would work amazingly. I think that would be a great match for Crown Jewel. Next is the strap match between Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross. This one's interesting. I think it's going to be an extremely even match between two big buff dudes. I think it's going to be quite a fucking scrap. But at the end of the day, I think Karrion Kross is going to beat McIntyre clean. I don't know exactly the rules they're doing with this strap match. I don't know if it's like a four corner strap match where you have to touch the corners, like each corner in succession, or they're just simply strapped up. I don't know exactly how they're doing it. I guess we'll see. But regardless, I think Karrion Kross is winning. And I think, honestly, at this point, Kross is just going to kind of move on from the McIntyre feud, maybe look into something with the Bloodline, because that seems to be what he's been trying to do. And I think McIntyre should move into a feud with Gunther. I want to see a big feud with McIntyre and Gunther. I think that's going to be next. They haven't planted any seeds for it, but I'd love to see it. I think that would be great. And next is the Raw Women's Championship ladder match, where Bianca Belair is defending against Bayley. Now, first things first, I expect both of these women's people, friends, groups, to interfere a lot. I feel like a lot of this match is going to be them interfering. It's probably going to be Io Sky and... Io Sky? No. Wait, is that her name now? I don't know. That doesn't sound right. Io Sky. Io Sky. I don't like that. Kai and Sky, I think, are going to interfere a bit. And then I think Alexa and Oscar are going to come out, interfere a bit. I think at the end of the day, Io and Dakota are going to end up fucking Bianca. They're going to probably tie her hair to something. I feel like that's going to happen. I feel like they're going to like either tie her hair to like a ladder or tie her hair to like the ring post or tie her hair to like the rope. And I think Bayley's going to come out the victor. I think that would be good booking. I don't know what they're going to do with her hair, but I feel like they're going to do something with her hair. They should do something with her hair. And honestly, I want Bianca Belair's title reign to end. She has been a very unlikable face. Clearly, she's there for the children, and I get that, and I respect that, but I don't want to fucking see it anymore. I've never been a fan of Bianca Belair. I don't like her wrestling. I don't like her personality. I mean, her wrestling's good. She is a good wrestler. I just don't like her little theatrics. I don't like the fucking hair. I don't like when she goes up to the middle rope and just starts smacking her ass like a fucking baby. Like, I don't like that. It's gross. I don't get Bianca Belair. A lot of people get her. I don't. I never have. I never will. I don't care for Bianca Belair at all. And in the main event, I think they're going to put the I Quit match in the main event because why not? I think they're going to do some interesting stuff involving some bunnies. Let's see. I think Edge is going to do some cool entrance because he likes doing the cool entrances at the pay-per-view. I think Finn's going to one-up him, though. I think we're going to see a Judgment Demon. That's right. I think, seeing as this is Finn's first big match in a while, he's got to bring out the Demon. It's been too long without the Demon. Triple H is in charge now. Judgment Demon. I'm calling it right now. I don't think Judgment Day is going to get involved in this match one bit. I think it's just going to be Edge and Finn Balor. Judgment Day might come out. They might. I don't know. I feel like it's just going to be Edge and Balor. I want it to be just Edge and Balor to just really end this whole Judgment Day Edge thing. Because it's been great so far. I just think this would be the perfect time to cut it. So Edge is going to do a cool entrance. Finn's going to come out as the Demon. He's going to have like the black, the purple. He's going to be all decked out. I expect there to be tons of wicked spots in this match because Edge is going to retire soon. I think he's really setting up to retire soon. So I think this is going to be like one of his last big stipulation type matches. And I think it's a good send off as it comes for stipulations to be against Finn. This being said, there's two ways I see this match going, and it's kind of dumb. I don't really know exactly who's going to win this match. I want Finn to win it. I think Finn should win it. I think it would establish Judgment Day. It would establish Finn, because I've been hearing that they're trying to push Finn. I've been hearing that on the dirt sheets. So this would be a good time to start that. I think Edge has won just about every big pay-per-view match he's had. Especially recently, he might have lost a few. I don't keep track, but I feel like he's due to lose one. I think Finn Balor is the person he should lose it to. Because Balor needs to be established as the big leader of the Judgment Day, and the Demon's here, and it's great. So anyways, Finn Balor makes Edge say, I quit. Which, we'll see. Okay, post-match. If Edge wins or loses, I don't care. Red lights come on. Everything is red, and the White Rabbit song starts playing. That's right. Bray motherfucking Wyatt comes out. See, I want it to happen. I think if they bring Bray back right now, if he is the White Rabbit, which, holy shit, if he's not, people are going to be pissed. I think this would be the perfect time to do it. Edge loses the I Quit match. He's got a lot. He just lost a lot. Like, he's, you know, he's struggling. Bray Wyatt comes out. Starts a feud with Edge. Crown Jewel. Fiend versus Edge. Hell in a Cell. I think that could work. I think that would be good. I think that's what they should do. I definitely think the White Rabbit, whoever it is, whether it be Bray, whether it be Gacy from NXT, whoever it may be, I think they should interfere in the Edge match. I think Edge's next feud needs to be established. The Judgment Day thing is ending. Edge needs to move on. And I think he's going to fight the White Rabbit. And I think the White Rabbit's going to be Bray Wyatt. We shall see. And I'm very excited to see. And I hope you all are too. Extreme Rules is going to be one hell of a show for sure.